Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME, THEGAME. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. Get those questions in for D-Mace. Your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. We'll get to ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. But I want to start here because we've got some of the latest on DeAndre Hopkins. Jeremy Fowler took to Twitter last night, said a few notes on D-Hop after asking around, getting a good feel around the league. One, he's open-minded about teams league-wide, no short list that Jeremy Fowler is aware of. Prepared to be patient, minicamp could be a soft deadline, training camp a harder deadline. Three, taking free agent visits is a possibility. How do we interpret the DeAndre Hopkins situation and some of the little nuggets that are coming out?
Sounds like the phone's not ringing very much.
No, it doesn't.
Not the way he wants it to. Like I'm guessing some people may have offered the incentives and things like that, but nothing that has had him going, ooh, I got to choose between this, this, and this. Sounds like his options are limited right now.
And that's kind of what it's felt like from the beginning, at least to
yeah.
me.
I misread it. My take it to the bank last week, I thought people would jump in and try to get him. That's... does not seem to be the case.
Well, it didn't get taken to the bank or taken to the bank.
Yeah.
He got rejected.
Yeah. Taken to the curb.
Insufficient funds.
Insufficient funds. That's happened to me a few times.
Happened to me some days
sir,
in college.
Can I see you over here for a second? We got a problem. This card's not working.
As long as it didn't happen when you're out to dinner. You know, when you're younger.
Yeah, you got all your people.
Exactly. And then it's like insufficient funds. Like,
run it again, I guess.
Run it again.
Are you sure the problem's not on your end? No, we're sure. We ran it two or three times.
This is how it works. No. I think we talked about this. The difference between, I always say, when people say, well, is he worth it? And I've said this forever, so it's not like the first time I mentioned it. When people say, well, he's not worth that, he wants that, he's not worth it. I get what y'all saying. I get it. But in his mind, he's worth it, and other teams will dictate whether what he's thinking is right. So just because we may say, well, he's not worth it, there's going to be possibly one team that say, you know what? He's worth it, and we're going to give it to him.
But what's it?
We don't know yet. And I think D-Hop, it would have been for him, as far as money-wise, if he wanted his money, it would have been better to help facilitate a trade than to get on the market, because the market will tell you, especially the market will humble you, let's say that, when you are an older guy. It will humble you. When you get past that 30 mark, even if you're still playing well, what you think you deserve and what the market dictates or what the market says is sometimes two different things. It may not be off by a lot, or sometimes it can be. I think what Hop is going to find out, if indeed he's stuck with this money thing, like I'll need to be making what OBJ is making, he's going to find out, just like OBJ found out, because the speculation was he wanted $20 million. Well, OBJ, I don't think he ever came out and said he wanted $20 million, but that's what the speculation was. He wanted 20. Well, if that was the case, he found out, well, the market ain't going to pay you 20. It's going to pay you this, or at least one team's going to pay you this. And it was because of the quarterback that got him that contract to be on that team. Lamar Jackson wanted a player like OBJ.
The Ravens did Lamar
a favor. Like, listen, okay, we're going to – and it's about time that they did. Get him some receivers that he can rely on. Well, D-Hop might – he's going to find out the same thing. That, yeah, you may – your career as a whole may say that you deserve – $15, $16, $17 million as a whole, your career. But the last 3 years doesn't say that. The last 3 years, and you're getting older, the last 3 years says, well, you're probably a fraction of what you used to make. I'm not saying you're a fraction of the player. I'm saying as far as what I'm going to pay you is a fraction of what you used to make. So if you're used to making $20-something million, sorry, we ain't paying you that. We may pay you 7. We may pay you 8. We may pay you 9. We may even pay you 10. Hell, we may go 11. But we're not paying you $22 million because your play doesn't warrant that much. And you're getting older, and you've been hurt, and you've been suspended. And this whole thing that's out there, and I heard Polian on Jarrett yesterday make the remarks of he doesn't like to practice, this and that and that and this. To me, that doesn't mean anything from this standpoint. When, because I've seen that and I've heard that about players, and then you get them in your business like, man, this ain't the player they said this was. I can remember there were some things being said about Kevin Carter coming out of the Rams. And when he got to our locker room, that was far from what they said. Like, Kevin Carter, he stepped in like this. Like, what were they saying over there? Like, this ain't the guy that they were talking about. Like, this dude is, you know, he's a pro's pro. He comes in, do his job, loves everybody in the locker room. Great teammate, great ambassador, great community guy. Great. What is this stuff y'all were saying about him or the Rams? We don't see any of that. So I say that to say this. That stuff that was said, I don't know. Because once he get into your building, then you truly find out. Because maybe he didn't like it over there. Maybe some people, they were butting heads and things just didn't work out. Come to another place, maybe things work out. So I'm not going to take so much of that. But what I am going to say is he's getting older. He's going to find out that what he believes he deserves and what the market says is two different things.
And I think he's finding that out right now. I think he's learning a lesson that OBJ learned, that Lamar learned, whenever he said, okay, fine, you don't want to pay me what I think I'm worth, I'll go to the market. And it was crickets. It's a humbling experience. Like you said, it's humbling to hit the market. And I do think that there are teams that are interested in D-Hop services that may have even picked up the phone and called about D-Hop services, but not at the right price.
For him. They're saying, this is our budget for you. Will you take it? And he's like, I'll get back to you. He's waiting it out. The one that intrigues me that I've been hearing a lot, Tim was the first guy that mentioned it to me, or not to me, but on our show, was the Browns. And I think there's a very compelling argument for the Browns where it might be the balance between the price, the role, chance to win. The Browns aren't going to be predicted to win, but from Hopkins' standpoint and from the Browns' standpoint, they've got the cap space. He's got the relationship with the quarterback that goes way back. He's got a chance to get a lot of run if he stays out there and put up some good numbers. So I just think that you put all that together, to me, that's a fit where if he's looking for a little bit more money, like I said before, you just got done saying it, D-Mace, I think if he wants to play for a team that's already loaded, that team doesn't have the budget or the willingness to go that. They'll be like, well, we'll be all right without you. If you'd like to join us, sure, this is what we can do. It's incentive-based, all of this. But you're not going to get your cake and eat it too here.
The one caveat to that is a report that we talked about yesterday from Brooks Cubina of the Houston Chronicle, and that was that D-Hop would be willing and open to playing for the Texans. So that tells me he's not really that worried about it. Anybody think that the Texans are going to be competitive or good this year? I think that that showed me that he's willing to go wherever the money – or he's going to go, rather, wherever the money shows. Cleveland might be that place. Because Cleveland is a team that just spends and spends and spends because they think that spending more money is going to make them better. I mean, they spent all of that money for Deshaun Watson, spent all of that money for OBJ, all that money for Jarvis Landry. So Cleveland could be that team. But I think it's an interesting shift of events that show me that D-Hop wants to go where the money is. And I don't blame him. Side note, I don't blame him. I feel like there's almost a stigma attached to athletes that follow the money. No, get your bag. I don't blame you for going wherever the biggest contract is. But D-Hop went on the I Am Athlete podcast, didn't say that he would only go to those teams or quarterbacks, didn't say that he only wanted to play for those quarterbacks, but he said, I'd like to play with a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes or a Justin Herbert. So fast forward a couple of weeks, this coming out from Jeremy Fowler, that he's open-minded about teams league-wide, that the offer just hasn't been there that he likes or that he wants, and he's going to go where the offer is right, where the money is best.
Well, I think he will go where the opportunity is best.
But do the Browns not light up all the lights?
I think they do because, listen, regardless of what we may think about the ownership of the Cleveland Browns, this team has a good defense. Defense was better than the Titans last year. So have a good defense, and they're building their offense with a quarterback that at one point of time before him not playing that 4 year, and then suspension and the off the field stuff, many regarded as a top 10 quarterback in his league. In many regards, some said he's a top 5-7 quarterback in his league. I think Deshaun Watson is still that quarterback. I think once he sort of gets into his groove, he's still a top 10 quarterback. There's nothing that has shown me anything other than that. Now, last year, I get it. You come in midway through the season or toward the end of the season and you don't play well. Well, a lot of things has to be attributed to that. So I'm just going to throw that out the window. But you go to a situation like the Cleveland Browns, you already got a defense. You have pieces on offense. You may be that one or two guys away from really competing in a conference that is starting to get loaded even more with quarterbacks that are really, really good. This team, probably with a Hop and maybe another guy, this would be a team that, frankly, we'll be talking about come November, December as a team that has a real opportunity at putting themselves in a position to not just make the playoffs, but make a run in the playoffs.
And I don't think that anything that you're saying is wrong about mm-hmm. Cleveland. They've got good pieces. They've got a good quarterback. They have a good running back. I think they have an underrated head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But a team that's even better than mm-hmm. the Cleveland Browns, a yeah. team that's even more proven than the Cleveland Browns, the team that just won the Super Bowl, yeah, had an offer yeah. on the table for D-Hop, and he said no because it wasn't enough. So I agree that from the outside looking in, Cleveland would check a lot of boxes. You know the quarterback. They've got good pieces around it. They might think we're a D-hop away from being able to be competitive. But what does D-hop think about it? Because if the money's not there, he's not going.
And quickly, it probably didn't work out because he hadn't hit the market yet. And, you know, when you don't hit the market and somebody's throwing you a low ball order offer, what are you going to do? You're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I wait. Well, now as he's into free agency, maybe he starts to realize that maybe that money's not out there. And if some money is out there, am I going to take – because I think this is what it's going to boil down to. Because I don't think no one's going to give him the OBJ. At least I don't think it. Maybe. At least I don't think. But you would have to give him that much money to go to a losing team or a team that's not competing for a Super Bowl. But – I think what's going to happen is this. He's going to find out that, okay, they offered me 3. They offered me 5. I'm just throwing out 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They offered me 3. They offered me 5. Okay, that is more money. I'm going to take that 3 because at least with this 3, I can win a Super Bowl over here. He has to find out what the market is saying first. He said no to that 3 because he didn't know what the market was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in it. The market's saying you're not worth that. So he may take that lesser to go here and win now than to take $2 million more, $3 million more, and not win.
If the Texans offer him 8?
I don't think he's taking it.
I think if
Kansas City is – so if Kansas City comes back and Mahomes pushes some more money because they have been talking about Mahomes reworking his deal and adding more years to it. They have talked about this. So if Mahomes reworks that deal, push some more money down, and they say, well, hell, we found $3 more million in the coffer. Here you go. 6 compared to their 8 or even 5 compared to their 8. He's not stupid. He's going to take that 5 and go to a Super Bowl, then that 8 and be sitting home in January.
I'm just saying Kansas City had the opportunity
yeah.
to put it out there. They put their offer out there. They evaluated what they think DeAndre Hopkins mm-hmm. is worth. He said, no, I think I'm worth more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a bad move on the part of the Kansas City Chiefs to overpay for a player that they already valued at a certain number. And maybe they do that, and that's fine. But where do the Titans come into this? We'll get into that coming up next. Ask D-Mace in 15 minutes, 615-737-1025. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6.04 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Well, everyone, are we ready for the next report from Diana Russini?
Let's do it.
Oh, my goodness. What has Diana been doing?
The latest report from Diana Russini. We are breaking down DeAndre Hopkins, some of the latest on D-Hop. It's looking like the market isn't quite what D-Hop expected it to be. Now, Diana Russini was on First Take earlier. She provided a little bit of an update of teams around the league that could have some interest in DeAndre Hopkins. This was Diana Russini.
It's really going to come down to what he prefers and what he wants, as there are several teams, including the New England Patriots, who are interested in DeAndre Hopkins. And we're going to see over the next few weeks Hopkins taking visits with different teams, Brian, and he's going to make a decision on what's best for him.
Okay.
The Bills, they're not all in on this. They're listening. They're watching. They've had conversations. They're not jumping into this pool.
The Jets are not interested in DeAndre Hopkins at this point, by the way. But for your team, for the Dallas Cowboys, I don't get the sense that he is an option for them. Look, all teams are looking at this, but there's this level of seriousness, right? Like, for example, I had one executive in the league say to me, look, if he wants to make $2 million a year, yeah, we'll take him, right? So money's a big issue. And obviously the Dallas opened up some space here, and they could look into that. But from the conversations I had, the Dallas Cowboys are not on the board.
Okay, so that was Diana Russini. Mm-hmm. She says the Patriots are interested. The Bills are not all in. The Cowboys would say, hey, yeah, we'll sign you for $2 million, but it's not really that serious. The Jets are not interested. Robert Saleh even came out and basically said, didn't say explicitly, but basically said, like, no, we're good. Like, we feel good about our team. We know that Diana Russini is incredibly connected to the Tennessee Titans. Whenever Diana Russini has a report about the Tennessee Titans, we listen. Do we find it strange, encouraging, odd in any way that Diana Russini did not name the Titans among teams that either are or are not interested?
I guess. I mean, you know, considering what she has, you know, put out there about the Titans and, you know, in the past, if they were interested, you know, you think she would have mentioned the Titans, but you never know, because after that debacle where she had to go back and erase her tweet, somebody probably got to us like, don't do that again unless we tell you, like, definitively this is what we're doing. We may be in the same boat as those other teams, like, yeah, we just kicking the tires, like, yeah, if you want make $2 million, yeah, I'll take you. But that's not like a serious inquiry on wanting him on your team. That's just saying, hey, if you want to come for $2 million, I'll take him. But other than that, we'll just kind of wait it out and see what other teams are doing. But it is sort of, you know, that she didn't bring up the Titans in sort of this whole thing. She did bring up New England, and I heard the New England thing. It was maybe 2 weeks ago, about two and a half weeks ago. From Ninkovich. I can't pronounce his name.
Rob Ninkovich?
Ninkovich. He was on ESPN.
Former Patriot,
obviously.
Mouthpiece for the team.
So, and he did bring up the Hopkins, you know, potential of you know, them looking at, because of Mac Jones, need that guy that he can rely on and help boost, with O'Brien being there, help boost that passing game. So that's not a surprise to me that she threw in New England in there. So guess we just wait and see it now.
Hmm. She didn't mention the Browns either, which to me, they're going to be in on this, I would think. I mean, on some level. So I don't know if it was an issue of time. I don't know how we cut up those pieces there. So I don't know what to read into not hearing. I would have to think there are other teams that maybe they just didn't care to ask her about. Mm-hmm. But it would certainly seem like, you know, to me, if you're the real question here for the Titans is, how much do you really want to dive all in? Like, if you want to outspend, if you're hearing what we're throwing out there, D-Hop wants some money. He wants a good deal. He's not just going to take an incentive laden nothing to go to a winner. You want to dive into that? You want to spend that kind of money on him? Now, I heard Jared's argument yesterday. if you're going to go big money and you have the money, 1 year is the way to go. As long as you're not on the hook for 2 or 3 years, I get that. But for this team, we know that money's tight the way it is right now. There's not a lot with the Byard contract, the Henry contract, the Tannehill contract, the stuff we've been talking about.
They can make the money if they want to.
Well, yeah, but that limits your options on other things, flexibility during the season, all of these things. I don't know what they could muster up on a one-year deal unless they rework one of the other guys' contracts to create space. Maybe it's Landry or somebody like that. Maybe you can tap that well. I don't know. I still get the sense they would like to move past the dead money, get it all out of the way so you have real flexibility next year, really the ability to go attack and make moves the way you want to next year, especially when Simmons' contract really kicks in. So I don't know. Do you guys think that's worth the investment for this year, where this team is, when you're going to have probably a new quarterback next year, maybe not have Derrick Henry next year? I don't know. It seems like you're kind of starting over next year on some level. So is it worth D-Hop for 1 year?
Nah.
I can see both. You could argue both ways, but what's the ceiling?
Why don't you think so?
I just don't think, because this team's not one guy away.
That's kind of how I look at it,
one
Derek.
One guy away from what?
One guy away from winning a Super Bowl. This team has been in the playoffs. This team, and I know going to the playoffs is something. I'm not saying that. Believe me, I know. Going to the playoffs is an accomplishment in itself. But are you going to just bring a guy in for 1 year to maybe not even make the playoffs? And I think we've all been in a situation like this, and I think I this is how I sort of relate this to. We have all been in a situation where, okay, we got our budget, and, you know, we've budgeted already, whether it be for the month or for a trip. Let's just say we budgeted for a trip, and we got our budget. Now, there may be something that come up that we can probably, okay, instead of going to this place, let's not go to that place. Let's pull back because we want to really do this, like this. But that's not saying that we don't have money. Like, we don't have money to spend. If we wanted to do it all, we could do it all with no problem. But we are budgeting for a trip, and that's what we're doing. So we're just only going to do this. We're not going to go outside of our budget to bring more money in, because we've all agreed to this. But if you have something you want to do, Caroline, and we say, well, we all agree, well, let's stretch it a little bit within the budget already. Let's take this thing back, or let's not go for as long, and so we can do this one thing. But we're not spending any extra money. I think that's where the Titans are at right now, with Hopkins or anybody else that's going to want a little bit more money to come here to play. We have our budget for the year. We can stretch it to do some things, or to sign some guys that we already have on our team, or maybe a low-budget guy comes in that doesn't require a lot of money. We can stretch it within our cap, but I'm not paying cash for anything else. Like, I'm not coming out of my pocket for anything else. Not to say we don't have it, but I'm not doing it, because we've already set it, because we have a goal in mind.
You're trying to keep
Amy has the money. That's what I'm saying. Amy probably more than likely has the money that she, hey, if Hop want $20 million, I can pay him $20 million. But I'm not doing that.
Well, you wouldn't do that because there's no market that says
exactly,
that
or even $10 million. Even $10 million. I'm not doing that, especially not for 1 year, especially with the team that we are, I'm not going to call it a rebuild, we are building. We are building a team, so when we move into that new stadium and everything else, they want to win before they move in a new stadium. I get that. But when they move in that new stadium, they want to make sure they have a team that's either has won a Super Bowl already, been in an AFC Championship game, or is on the verge. They want to take a team that's a winning team inside that new building.
But how does acquiring D-Hop veer you off of that path?
Because that's money that I don't need to spend. Because he's not going to change our fate.
But who's catching balls for this team? I would argue
but they've already told you.
No,
you don't. You don't need to spend that money. I've seen teams that haven't had more than one top flight receiver, and they make it work. Everybody's, and me as well, I do it sometimes. We're looking at what these guys, and Tim Kelly has already told you. Vrabel has already told you. Listen, we're okay with the guys in our room. For now, we're okay with them. We believe that they can step up. We got to believe them. That's what they're saying.
I don't believe them.
And here's the thing. If you're not going to have them next year anyway, Hopkins, if it's a one-year thing, you got to find out what you do have, good or bad.
Exactly.
This year with the guys. We got to find out about Burks. We got to find out about Phillips. You're not going to find out as much if Hopkins is the central point of an all-in for 1 year kind of thing.
I don't think it would be an all-in for 1 year central point kind of thing.
But next year, will you have Hopkins, Tannehill, and Henry?
No.
Okay, well, then,
so why do it? So that, you have to have an eye on what's happening for the next 2 or 3 years.
I think you can do both. I think that you can be all in and try and win as many games as you possibly can. And if you don't win the Super Bowl, then look, we tried to win as many games as we possibly can.
That's fair. You can do that. But are you blocking the progress of Burks? Are you blocking the progress of Phillips? You're taking away field time from some of those guys.
Did we feel that way last year when the Titans acquired Robert Woods?
They were going for it last year. They were the number one seed the year before. They were all in to try to win last year.
But
that is not where they are this year.
Acquiring Robert Woods impeded upon Treylon Burks' progress or success.
No, not at all.
So why would DeAndre Hopkins do that? Well, we didn't know that he wasn't going to be on the field.
And let's discuss that. Once we get finished with
maybe some Ask D-Mace questions.
Yeah, Ask D-Mace questions could be thrown my way concerning what we're talking about now.
Let's get into Ask D-Mace coming up next. Caroline Relay D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
G-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The best question for D-Mace will win a nice little prize. Tickets to see Tears for Fears on July 11th. So get those questions in for D-Mace.
Wheelhouse. That's my wheelhouse. I can't win,
that's
though.
That's your wheelhouse.
I can ask D-Mace some questions, but I cannot win.
Dang it.
Got to figure out another way to get to that concert. I have seen Tears for Fears in concert. Very, very good.
We'll have to go.
Yeah.
I'll be out of town with you. Night out. Oh, dang. Well, let's get to some of your questions for D-Mace. Rob is on the line. What's up, Rob?
Yes. D-Mace, I just want to ask, what do you think of the pros and cons to D-Hop as far as going to the Titans? And do the pros outweigh the cons?
Thank you for the call.
Bob.
Appreciate it, Bob. Obviously, the pros are you're getting a guy that I believe has the best hands in the National Football League, even at the age of 30. A guy that is a highly, highly, just one of those guys that just competes at a high level. He's going to go out there. He has dog in him. He's a guy that, when healthy completely, we see what he can do on the field. He can help a quarterback in so many ways. Is he the fastest? No. D-Hop's never been the fastest guy.
It's never been his best attribute.
Yeah, that's never been his attribute. What he has, it will never go away, is he has the ability to catch the ball just about any area on a football field with just about anybody on him. He's a matchup problem a lot of times. So that's the pros. Now, obviously the cons is over the last two seasons, he's missed a bunch of games, obviously. 2 years ago, injury. This year, because of the suspension. And really, Willie, you did note he did miss some games this year because of hamstring issues or whatnot.
I think it was a knee issue at the end of the year. Last couple games he did not play.
Okay.
And, of course, their season was crumbling.
There's speculation there.
Yeah, whether he was really hurt or not.
And I don't know. But there is
that whole thing was unraveling. Exactly. In fact, the whole Cardinals thing going into next year, there are a lot of questions on where this is all going. Is Kyler Murray ever going to play for them again? That's another question for another day.
But I think the pros outweighs the cons to me. And there's because we can go to just about any guy over the age of 30 at any position other than probably the quarterback. when you're 31, 32, people, oh, you're starting to get older, you're more subject to injury. Well, those things, those are cons for D-Hop. He's been injured, you know, last two seasons. He can be injured moving forward, more susceptible to injuries moving forward. And the money is an issue for teams as well. For the Titans, it could be. Money is the issue. And then, too, Willie brought it up earlier. And I truly believe, well, I know coaches think that way. Some coaches think that way. When you bring them in, are you taking opportunities away from guys you need to find out, you know, can they elevate their game even more? Because regardless of what we think, you know, well, they can still get the touches. No, when you bring D-Hop and you have a trailing, your offense is going to be, your passing game from a receiver standpoint is going to be geared around those two guys. Other guys, get in where you fit in. But these two guys are our main guys. So I think the pros outweigh the cons, but I think the cons are too magnified, if that makes sense. So the money and the injuries.
D-Mace, we forgot to get your latest dad joke.
Okay.
But by the way, get in your calls and texts here for D-Mace. This is what happens. It starts a little trickle. You know, we get a few early, and then it starts flying, and then we run out of time. So we got to get the questions going as fast as we can.
Ask me some questions. Ask me whatever you want to ask.
Keith says, hey, D-Mace. I'm not sure this is a question. Hey, D-Mace, I'm thinking about getting a job installing mirrors. It's just really something I can see myself doing. Thoughts?
Oh, Zanies 2025.
I like that one, though. I like it.
He's scribbling this down on the scrolls for the material in 2026.
Gotta save like that it. One for Zanies.
Like this is something I can see myself doing. Oh, boy.
Doug is on the line with a question for D-Mace.
Oh, Doug
What's
always
up, Doug?
Strikes a little energy into the show. What do you got, Doug?
Thank you guys for saving me last week. The NyQuil from the Dollar General at the Bad Shit Saga came through like a champ. I mean, I was left alone. Matter of fact, they brought me some Baskin Robbins and a banana split back just to make me feel better. So now there's another dilemma, and it's a little more professional. NIL is everywhere.
Yes.
It's just like also telling a kid, you know, hey, you don't want to go to that college because they don't run the kind of offense, but they're stuck in that eye candy. Well, there's a situation where, you know, this guy's trying to coerce my son into being a part of his hair product stuff, and my son's eyes are as big as half a dollar. Behind the scenes, I know this guy's he's a fraudulent activity, and I hate to burst my son's bubble. So what is the best way? Although, you know, as a dad, you know, you go back to the old standby cause I said so.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why we ain't doing this. But I want to ease in with a little bit of, let me explain to you why, son. So what's the best way to approach this young man with, you know, an adult decision because of the knowledge that I have of this individual?
Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate the call.
So it's a really good question.
Yeah,
so
there is a really good question.
Because it's hard for a kid to see past
the money.
As he said, the eye candy.
Yeah,
right?
It's hard to kind of see what's behind that iron curtain.
$8,000 to an 18-year-old.
It's a lot of money.
Seems like a ton of money.
Hell, $8,000 is a lot to me.
Absolutely it is.
Exactly.
So what do you think it is for a 17-year-old?
Ooh.
A ton. Do you think you got it made?
Game changer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Grown-ups are like, that ain't a lot of money, man. That's going to be gone pretty quick.
I'd take $8,000.
I'd take it.
Yeah. But does it impact your decision? What's the best decision at school, playing time, coach, all of that stuff?
Yeah. I think what you have to do, Doug, is explain it to them, you know, the way you sort of brought it to us. Hey, listen, I know, you know, whatever the money is, I know this is what you see, but I know this person. I've done my homework on this person, and this is what he's not telling you or she's not telling you. These are all the things that they're not telling you. They're only showing you the good part of it. We give you whatever, however much money it is, but these are all the things that this person has been you know, linked to or have done, or he's shady in business. So, you know, son, I would, you know, as a dad, I'm here to, you know, advise you on the best route to take and trust me when I say this, that after doing my homework, this guy is not the best guy to be in, you know, to be doing business with right now. We will find something else. We will find other things. And if we don't, that's okay. You know, it's okay if we don't find anything else. But if this is the university you want to go to, you know, then go to that university, not because this person that I know is doing, have done some, you know, nefarious things. Don't go because that person wants you to go. Go because you want to go. That right there is just maybe a small incentive to go. It's not the main reason why you're going. We will find, or your play will dictate getting more money, because we can pass up on this. We may take this and you miss your blessing. You know, it may block your blessing from another thing because you take this and you dealing with this person, which isn't a good person.
Prioritizing.
Exactly. Absolutely. So let's put that aside. If you do what's right and you play the way you're supposed to, the way I know you can, you will get that times, you know, whatever. So you're going to forget about what this person was willing to give you.
Wise words from Zany's own Derek Mason.
There we go.
More questions for D-Mace coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there we go. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Get those questions in for D-Mace, 615-737-1025. Willie, take it away.
All right, we got Ask D-Mace. Hit it, 615-737-1025. Quick note, Lipscomb on the road at Clemson in the NCAA Regional, down 2-1. In the bottom of the second. So Lipscomb's on the board. Let's go, Bison. Tennessee is in that huge crowd at Clemson. That is one of the biggest college baseball venues that you have. So great theater for Lipscomb and Tennessee in the same regional. Vanderbilt gets started tonight. D-Mace, we've got the latest one. This is from Tim. Where do dads save their jokes? Where do dads save their jokes?
I don't know.
At the database. All right, Tim.
I like that.
All right, Tim. Zanies, 2026.
Yep. Write it down. Use that material.
I'm using it. Thank you all.
Wesley is on the line with a question for D-Mace, our phone lines are from Mobiles and Cunningham.com. What's up, Wesley?
Yo, I actually got a double dose for you, man. I got a question for you, but I also got a dad joke for you.
Okay.
Which one you want first?
Hey, hit us with the dad joke.
All right. Singing in the shower is a fun concert until you get soap in your mouth. Then what is it?
A soap opera?
A soap opera.
Oh, he got it!
You got it.
Yes. That's a score. If you get the punchline, that's a score. That's a score. We don't know
like
what you
that,
get,
though.
But
I
you
like
get
that.
Something.
I
that's
like
good.
That, Wes. Go ahead.
My question is not sports related. It's just a general question. But is the development of new technology making us more or less productive?
Shut up! Keep your...
Is it making us more or less productive? Oh, man.
It's an excellent question.
It is a really good question.
Get off your phone! Off your phone!
Thanks for your call, Wes.
God, that's a hard question to answer because...
Stop Facebooking. Stop TikToking.
You see your kids in what they do, but they're still able to... you know, sort of be productive in schoolwork and everything else. I guess it depends on the kid, the person. I don't think it's made us – I don't think it's taken a lot to make us less productive. I don't think it's because of technology. I just think we're in a new era of people in a sense. I don't think it's made us less productive as a society. It's made things easier. In a sense where, you know, for instance, library. Like, if we wanted to know something about a book or a book report, we had to physically get up, go to the library, check the book out, do all this stuff, bring it home, read the book.
Make another sure, Dewey Decimal
exactly,
System.
Exactly. Make sure we take the book back and all this. So there were a lot of things we had to do before we actually, you know, started to write the paper. Well, now we don't. Just get on your phone. It's quick. So we're not, I don't think we're less productive. I just think we do things a lot quicker. And so we have time to do other, we're more efficient. Let's say that.
No.
And I would say more efficient.
And more deficient in other things, exactly, just wasting the time.
Exactly. Because you
frying
do it,
your brain.
Because you get, because you, you're able to do it quickly.
Right.
That now, okay, I've done it, it's over with. Now I can do, either I can chill, relax, or I can go do some fun things that I may have wanted to do. So I don't think it made us less productive.
Yeah, it's a give and take. Yeah.
It's definitely give and take. Made me more unproductive at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at times you can be.
I can just sit on TikTok all day.
Yeah, a lot of rabbit holes you can go down.
Yeah, a whole lot of Candy Crush I can do.
All right, we got. I think, a candidate for the winner because I love Tears for Fears. And remember, that's the prize today. Joanna has this question. That's cool in the gang. That's cool in the gang. Maybe they'll come along with Tears for Fears. I would go to that concert.
Oh,
cool
definitely.
Cool in the gang and
absolutely.
Tears for Fears?
Absolutely.
Okay. What's the hardest Derek ever got hit that gave him Tears for Fears?
Oh
working it in. Nice.
Okay. Hardest I've ever gotten hit. Oh, wow. I remember I've got hit like 3 times hard, like really hard.
So it's like the Vezina Trophy. There's 3 finalists.
Yeah, there's like 3 finalists. One, I just got flat knocked out. And that was Baltimore. And I was catching a punt. And the guy just clear ran through. He ran through. He might have ran through me and took my soul with me. Like with him, like he ran through me that hard. He took my soul and ran with it, and my soul had to come back in my body.
Who
after.
Was it? Do you remember?
Oh, for the life of me, I would always remember his name. What was the guy's name? And I can't remember it now.
He's got your soul.
Benny Thompson. Benny Thompson. Benny Thompson was a special teams demon. Like you circled him when you're doing your special teams. You made sure you get this guy right here. And I swear, Benny Thompson ran through me, took my soul to the end zone, and then my soul finally realized it wasn't in my body. Then it got back in my body. I was laid out flat. I got up. They were like, "You remember?" I was like, "I don't remember nothing." Like, I don't remember. The ball was – so they had got the football and everything else. So that's the – he knocked me flat out. I got hit in college. I ended up getting the ball back. It was a dirty hit too. But I was catching a punt. And I didn't even have the ball. And the guy ran through me. The ball hits me. And then I end up, you know, popping up and just getting the football. But, yeah, those 2 times. Yeah, especially that Benny Thompson, man. Whew. That was a hit for you. I think I wanted to quit after that. Ooh. I may have wanted to quit. Yeah. You know what they did? You know what they did? Good thing. See back in 1997, 98. Uh-huh. And those protocols wasn't in place. That whole knockout protocol.
There's such thing as concussion. Protocol.
Oh, concussion protocol. What's your name? Derek. All right, get back in.
Yeah,
you're okay.
Good. You're fine.
Yeah. That's how it was. What's your name? Derek. All right. You can get back
in. How many
in
fingers?
That. Yeah, exactly. But, man, I got totally knocked out.
Speaking of injury, one texter texts in and says, what should the snap count be for Harold Landry coming off of injury?
And this is a good question because we had this same, you know, we talked with Hutlap yesterday. And I mentioned that to him as far as how do you sort of gauge Harold Landry because you don't want to get the same situation that you got into with Bud Dupree, with Robert Woods, with Taylor Lewan. And I know every injury, you know, even though it may be the same, it is different in a sense because of the individual person. So, you know, Harold Landry may come back and be highly effective his first year. I don't expect the Harold Landry we will see this year will be like the Harold Landry we saw prior to the injury. I think it's going to take him a full year, at least a half a season to sort of get through some kinks and really trust that knee. But I think they should, at least through camp, like, listen, pull him back some, allow him to, okay, you can go hard, but then we're going to pull you. We're going to give you those veteran days, so to speak, as they call them, where we just need to just get treatment on your leg, run some, strengthen it up even more.
Take it
so
easy.
Exactly. So we got to have you for the whole season. We just don't need you for part of the season. We don't need you to be Superman and show you everybody that, oh, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may be, but you haven't been, you know, 300 pounders haven't been leaning on you, you know, and I caution everybody.
Just because you are green lighted doesn't mean you're 100%.
Exactly, because you're not rehabbing with 300 pound guys leaning on you as you're rehabbing, you know, so.
Got one from Taylor. D-Mace, if Derrick Henry has another productive season, do you think the Titans could re-sign him? It seems that they drafted Spears as the successor, not a complimentary piece.
I believe Derrick Henry is going to have another 1,500 yard season. If he plays all 17 games, I believe he will have over 1,400 yards. Plays all 17 games, have over 1,400 yards. He still will be the most dominating runner in the National Football League this year, probably, if he doesn't get injured. But I don't know if they want to continue to chance it each year. If he comes off another 1,400 yard season, which I believe he will, then I think that's when you got to think as an organization, okay, either we're going to hold on to him and make him, and he's not the primary runner anymore, we cut the pay, we keep him so he can retire a Titan, or we try to get something for him. Or well, his contract really up after the season anyway. So either you let him go, let him see what the market's like, and if he likes money other places, then let him go and further out his career. If he doesn't, if you want to come back at a lower price or a reduced role, then you bring him back.
That you're not bringing him back for what's the opposite of a pay? A raise.
Yeah, you're not bringing him back for a raise.
You're not bringing him back for a raise. You're not bringing him back for $15 million a year. But I think it's an interesting philosophical question, and I think something that they're asking themselves on the inside.
Yeah.
That was Ask D-Mace. Appreciate all of your participation. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get back into the DeAndre Hopkins conversation. Should the Titans be involved? What should the Titans be willing to give up for DeAndre Hopkins? And is he still good? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Hey, join 1025 and 1063 The Game on June 6th for the Night Before Charity Writers Round featuring Saving Able, benefiting Souls for Souls. General admission is $20 with every ticket going to purchase a new pair of shoes for a child experiencing homelessness in Middle Tennessee. It's happening at the brand new venue, The Ballad East, next to the Gallatin Hotel in East Nashville. Doors open at 6 p.m. Get your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/golf. 1025, 1063 The Game.